Hey guys, and welcome to episode 19 of the podcast for the week of Sunday, November 25th through Saturday, December 1st. I'm Cardzi B, the creator of the Badass Bitches Tarot Deck and host of this podcast. I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I got my first deck around age 11, and I've continued to use tarot as a healing tool throughout my life. Eventually, this inspired me to create and hand illustrate my own tarot deck of badass bitches. So we're in our last week of November and officially in Sagittarius season. Okay, that was my best Oprah voice. It was kind of weak though. But anyway, I'm so psyched for this, not just because I'm a Sagittarius, but Jupiter is also now in Sagittarius. And that means the rest of the year, especially for Sagittarius, is going to be pretty fabulous. And December is leading the way with that. I'm actually sad to say goodbye to November's cards because we had some great ones. The King of Swords, the ultimate truth bomb working in our favor, and the Ten of Cups, also known as the Happy Family card, bringing us love, abundance, and connectivity this month. For more in-depth info on November's cards, you can go back to episode 15 of the podcast, and December's cards are going to be posted in the next podcast, episode 20, coming up next week. So stay tuned. I'm feeling good vibes about December, especially, like I said, Jupiter back in Sag and it's home. So yeah, I'm sure we're going to see good things moving forward, but I am sad to say goodbye to Ten of Cups and the King of Swords because they're two really good cards. Anyway, we still have 1 week left, which means this is our last card of the week for November. Wheel of Fortune. Okay, this card could not be more perfect. So many of you know, number one, this is my favorite card, still coveting the Dior Wheel of Fortune bag, FYI. You guys still have a few more weeks till my birthday. Just saying. Anyway, and number two, this card is ruled by Jupiter. Jupiter actually rules the Wheel of Fortune card and the Knight of Wands. So Sagittarian's ruling planet is Jupiter, and now that Jupiter is back home in Sag until December 2019, the Wheel of Fortune is perfect for this time. So a little bit on the Wheel of Fortune, other than my love and obsession with it. The original Smith Rider-Waite deck portrays the Wheel of Fortune as the card with this massive wheel in the center, and there are three figures on the outer edges. There's four Hebrew letters, Yod, He, Vod, He. I think I'm probably going to mispronounce that. I'm learning a little bit more about Hebrew and Kabbalah. And that is actually the name of God, which is really, it's very highly regarded and not something that's just kind of thrown around. So when that's used in artwork and symbolism, it's really important. And those letters are inscribed on the wheel's inner face. And this is kind of where things get even more complex. There are also the letters T-O-R-A. And there's a couple different theories on this. This could be standing for Torah, T-O-R-A-H, meaning law in Hebrew. It could be a shortened version of tarot, T-A-R-O-T as we know it, or it could be rota, R-O-T-A, which is Latin for wheel. So this is kind of, as many things are in tarot, this is still kind of a little bit mysterious, but has a lot of meanings. It could be all of the above because all really apply. On the outer edges of this wheel is a snake, which is the representation of the Egyptian god of evil. And the snake is also representing life coming into the material world. It can be temptation. It can be, just the material life force. On the right side, the Egyptian god of the dead, who looks kind of like a little floating wolf. And then on top of the wheel is the Sphinx. And the Sphinx represents kind of knowledge and strength. So when you look at that, the snake, the god of the dead dude, and the Sphinx with knowledge, it's kind of the ongoing wheel of all three of those parts are huge elements of life, and we're always moving through all of them. I mean, not all at the same time, but those are stages that are kind of undeniable. In the corners of the Wheel of Fortune, there are these four kind of creatures with wings, and these are representing the four fixed signs of the zodiac. So the angel's Aquarius, the eagle is said to be Scorpio, the lion is obviously Leo, the bull is obviously Taurus. The only one that's confusing to me is the eagle, but this is in everything I've read, the eagle's for whatever reason Scorpio. And their wings on all of them, even in animals like, the bull and the lion that would never traditionally have wings, are said to represent kind of that motion and movement of change. And they're all holding the Torah, representing wisdom. So in the Badass Bitches Tarot, considering the ultimate power and incredible like evolution of this card could be no other than my Queen Madonna, the queen of evolution, reinvention, literally from blue collar ballet dancer in the middle of Michigan to the iconic queen of pop billionaire that we now know, from 80s pop to ray of light electronica to Mambo, as she now calls herself, mother of eight. She shows us that she's continuing to evolve and never ever standing still. And that's really what this is about. This card reminds us that the wheel of life is always in motion. And, you know, as long as we're open to it, I see this card as an optimistic one. Some people see it as like, oh, well, that means if things are good, they're going to change to bad. I see this card, honestly, I mean, wouldn't have made it Madonna if I didn't love it. I see it as an optimistic card where if you're in a state of confusion, if you're in a state of feeling stuck or not knowing which way to move, know that we're always expanding and growing as long as we're open to it. So this card to me is kind of like that little sign of be open to signs from the universe, because even if you feel frozen in fear and stress at a standstill, the life is wanting you to move and evolve. So use your intuition, tap into those signs and use them to move forward. With that, I am so excited to bring on Marie Nielsen, a holistic and spiritual life coach, tarot reader, and intuitive healer from kindinside.com, calling us all the way from Denmark. This is Marie.
So it's my first time on a podcast, so I'm
really... I'm so excited to have you on. It's crazy how we like kind of found each other, because I think you had commented on something on the podcast and then I was like following you on Instagram and then I looked at your kindinside.com and I love everything you're doing as like an intuitive healer. And when I started reading more about you, your background's really fascinating to me. So kind of how did you go from, because you like you were in like law and business originally, yeah, right? So how did you go from that world into spiritual and holistic healing?
Well, I would rather say that I actually made it the other way around in some way. So since I was like 4 years old or something, like I've always been drawn to astrology and made like a lot of reports on it in school and kindergarten or whatever. And then like I started to, I was a really tomboy when I grew up and like I played soccer for like 20 years and something. It was really crazy and not feminine at all. And then I decided to like go on law school because I love to help people with problems. And well, I don't know really. There was a lot of pressure from like my grandma and like family and such. And yeah, you got to be something, you got to do something. And then I went there. And during law school, I realized when I was writing my my bachelor that it wasn't the right fit for me. But what do you do? I was like 21 years old or something. And yeah, the pressure was still there. So I kept going, despite like knowing my intuition told me, this is not you, girl. And everything else that I did while I studied was in fashion, was in, I was staring and dancing at the Royal Theater in Denmark and like doing every other thing beside law. So it was really funny. And then I had this millennium meltdown. I developed a really severe eating disorder and I was literally on my deathbed when I was writing my master thesis. And suddenly like the doors just opened and I was really cracked open, like rock bottom.
Yeah.
Totally smashed down. And I knew that law wasn't right for me. And then I don't know how I stumbled upon or rediscovered tarot, but it just fell into my life really, and one thing led to the other. So I believe that it was actually astrology that led me into it, and then just I learned so much about holistic healing, how to heal my gut, had a lot of issues in that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like, it was a lot of like holistic waves in some way, if you can say so, and like a patchwork really. I think that answers.
Yeah, no. So it's, and I feel like that's the case for, it's kind of been the case for me. It's the case of a lot of the people that I speak to who are doing this work, that it's more of an organic flow. It's not necessarily like these are the steps, because.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So no, that's really interesting. Did you, in that time period, was it at first because you were kind of looking for ways to heal yourself first and then found out that you were kind of adept at that and started working with others as well?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I've always known since I was a little girl, like, I'm here to help people. And I have a twin brother. And when we were like only 3-4 months years old, he was like almost dying. He had like a shock and such. And we have this photo of us where he's like gas blue in the head. He looks like a Smurf.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like white. I'm kind of plain, literally. But then I was just like healing him, like placing my hand on his head.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I've always known, like, I was a healer and I was meant to do something with people. And then it just like, I was really obese when I grew up, and then I lost that weight, and then it hit me like, or lost it, like whatever. And then it just hit me, I want to share this with others and I want to help others find themselves, because yeah. I knew that I felt like an onion, you know, where you just had a lot of layers that aren't you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just peel them off. Eventually I ended up peeling too much weight off. But I find myself by that. So sometimes you have to go through that. And then, yeah, obviously I knew that I was here to help others rediscover really their intuition. Mm-hmm. That is what I use tarot for. Not so much like, what can you say, like the truth or the answer to a question or whatever. I feel like it's a gateway into your intuition. And I believe that the majority of our illnesses or diseases really comes from our like loss of connection with our intuition.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. And I think a lot of times, like, especially like in Western culture, we've been trained to ignore intuition when it's not advantageous to like work schedules or making money. So people are almost, I think that I totally agree that everyone has it. It's a matter of practicing like how to access it. And we've been trained to kind of push it aside when it's, you know, in any way hindering like how we are supposed to function or how we think we're supposed to function in society. So I think that's a beautiful way that you just described it. And I think that that's, I don't know if you have this in reading, but a lot of people that think it's just about seeing the future or like an answer to a specific question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is like, and I was the same way, it is exactly what you said of bringing kind of what's in your intuition and subconscious like in front of you. And because so many people that I read, they're like, oh, I was already thinking that, or oh, I was literally just but they didn't say it, but it's kind of something that was playing out like maybe on a further away level, but then they're like, oh, okay, I guess that's something I need to face because it was kind of in the back of their mind somewhere.
Exactly. No, exactly what I do. I actually do, when I read in person with people or like on a Skype call or whatever, I always have people read their own cards.
Mm-hmm.
So they shuffle, they pull the cards if they want to, of course, but the majority won't. I haven't met anyone who didn't want to.
Right.
And then I if I'm on a camera with them, I show them the card and then I ask them, what do you see? How does this make you feel? What is your thoughts on this? And then they tap into their own intuition because the answer is for them. It's not really for me. And then oftentimes it just, you know how it is when you just get in that vibe and you pull something from the higher conscious or whatever it is, call it whatever you want to. But then they say exactly as you said, like, oh, I was already thinking this. And I believe that when we add, I recently discovered this by myself, like, or for myself, that whenever I have a question on something and like keep repeating that question in my head and like analyzes, paralyzes and yada yada, then I already know the answer. I just need some guideline or like, what can you say, like confirmation in some way.
Right.
And like, that's always, yeah, exactly. Like, okay, can I get a tool or something to show me that I'm on the right path or that what I was thinking is already there in some way. I always make this funny exercise. Hopefully it can benefit your reader, listeners as well, is that whenever you like have to decide on, is this right for me or what should I do? Like a yes or no question. I always ask them to flip a coin and like decide before, obviously, like what side is it's which. And then the gut feeling that they get, like the instant feeling that they get whenever it is like a yes or no, that will be the answer.
Yeah, that's no, I love that. I love exercises exactly like the coin.
It's so easy.
Because, and then the more that you do it, like you said, then you can do it without the coin. Like one of the things, like as I started realizing that like my intuition was like waking up over the past couple of years, I would do little things like I would predict which elevator was going to open in my building. I'm like, okay, I think it's, and then you're like, oh, wait, I do have this thing that I can connect to. And the more you do it, it's like working out. It's like using a muscle. So I love that you use a great example. Yeah.
And I don't think the funniest thing is that we always know when we're children or like when we're growing up, this intuitive thing, we always know how to navigate in the world in some way. And then we are told not to believe in that, or we are told put into these boxes and you have to be like this or you have to be like that. And then when we can rediscover ourselves and connect with that intuition, obviously we have to train that muscle, as you say, like we gain strength in ourselves and confidence. But when we do it, we get this like massive source of energy with ourselves, really. And then we can like realign with what we really want, instead of like starting asking others for questions or questioning what they are saying, instead of keep questioning ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. As you were kind of going through that kind of breakdown period in your life, and you were like, oh my goodness, like law is actually not for me. This is being really shown to me. Your health was spiraling because you weren't treating yourself right.
Exactly.
And you said that that's kind of when you came to these practices. First, just, you know, advice for people that may be at a point like that in their life, what would you recommend as kind of a small and easy step to start with in that period?
That is a really good question, actually. I think that, first of all, get off social media.
Mm-hmm.
Social media wasn't that massive as it is right now, but there's a lot of like, you should eat this or you should do that. And I had like people in Amsterdam doing my meal plan, and she didn't even know my body. Like, but I follow it like straight to a T, you know, like, oh, everything's a thing. I was weighing cucumbers, like on a scale, like every single day, like I couldn't go over, I couldn't go below. And I was like such a tumultuous world I was living in inside my head. And I was, So I believe that you have to like cut out all of the stuff that is weighing you down, and opinions from others. And I think that that's the first step. And then just start as playing around with it. Like, how do I actually feel? I hate saying to people like, oh, sit in meditation and do this. But if you are in that state, you hate meditation.
Oh, yeah.
You can do. Like, you will just be there and all your mind is going crazy and you're like, oh, I'm not doing this right at all.
And then it just feels like one more thing that you're failing at. I know, it's like,
exactly. It just stacks up.
It's like babies. Yeah. Like when I was in that phase, I was like, Oprah herself could have knocked on my door and I would have been like, meh. Like, it's like, you have whatever works for you. And like, now I do meditate. But yeah. I'm like, at that time, even like taking a walk with my dog, like getting out of my apartment was like, that was like a step of like, okay, I took a walk with my dog today. So I'm like, yeah, I love that you're like, that's not just one universal answer, because it's something that's helpful. Like when you're in that stage, that may be so far from attainable. It's so true. Yeah.
I recently wrote a blog post on this, actually, because what really helped me calm down whenever I was eating, which I had to regain a lot of weight, obviously, and eating was so like not intuitive. And then I learned that I could calm down when I did puzzles. And that was my step into meditation, really. That was my kind of meditation. So meditation is everything that makes you forget where you are.
Yeah.
And just be with yourself. Meditation can be a walk in nature. It could be a swim. It can be cuddling with your dog or your friend. Or what I also actually, what happened to me was that I cut out all of my friendships, really. They had a hard time seeing me, and I had a really hard time having them see me too. So for me, it wasn't seeing friends, but just doing what I felt like, playing Sims like I used to do when I was a kid, or playing with Lego even, or painting, or whatever rocks your boat.
Yeah.
It'd be anything.
So another question I have is, you said astrology was kind of a gateway in as well, and I'm not as well versed in astrology. I work mostly, like, my whole background is tarot, and then I've learned a little bit, you know, just because it plays into tarot, that there's like astrology readings and how the cards are influenced and ruled. But how did you work with that, and was like, is that something that you do, like chart readings as well with your clients?
Well, I'm starting to do mainly on a career path and passion, and like rediscover like your North Star and leading star, and where you're aiming at. Funny enough, mine is in spirituality, and like my South Node, which you call like what you know and what you brought into this life from other past lives, if you believe in that. That is actually in Libra. I have a Libra moon, which makes me an ideal lawyer because it's so familiar with me, or to me. Of my North Node, the place where I can develop the most is in Pisces, and that is like the whole like spirituality and dream work and intuition based astrology, chakras, tarot. So I'm definitely thinking, I'm feeling that I'm on the right path, but it's tough.
So I
work with astrology. Sometimes it just comes to me in some way. Like I can sometimes guess other people's signs, but what the majority of us don't know is that we are more than just our sun sign. And a lot of people are actually reading the wrong sign when they're reading like the daily horoscope in the newspapers, that kind of thing, because you have to read your rising sign, because they're based on the first house. Now we get really super technical, so I was on a little thought train here.
No, but I like that. That's kind of a good like quick sound bite that I tell people to, without getting to, because I'm not nearly as versed in it as you are, but I always say at least read both, because your rising is
exactly
an expression of yourself. And when I learned that probably like 5-6 years ago, because I'm Sagittarius Aries rising and I'm also Libra moon, and when I started to understand how all those played out, I was like, oh, and when I was reading astrology,
that makes sense.
It was like monthly, whatever, I could understand it was a little bit more of a big picture than just like
it is. So I have studied astrology since ninth grade, so like for 15 years at least. And it has been like then like lying doormat and then rose again. And now I just like people call me all the time, like, oh, what's up with the moon, or what energy is here, or whatever. And then I'm just like, oh, yada yada yada, and tell them what's it all about. And then they get, oh, that makes so much sense. And oh yeah, it's because it's in this or that house, or it has an aspect to your sun or Jupiter or whatever in your natal chart. So I always ask people for their birth date and hours and such, because it's so much more fun, and for the client, not for me. Well, I love it, but that's a passion, but for them it's much more like, I won't say reliable, but it's them then, like it's really personal.
Yes, definitely.
And I also, what I do a lot when I read the tarot is to read the chakras in the tarot cards. And that was also how the chakra mantra deck came about, really. It was like, I knew that when I was broken down or cracked open, all my chakras, they were out of whack. So I have always loved rhyming and like mantras. And then I just had to find a way where I could do that.
Deck yourself, correct?
Yeah, exactly. I did that, all the creativity, all the design, everything about
that's
it.
Beautiful. That's amazing.
Thank you. so it was a long time that I worked on it, but when I finally had it in my hands, and it's nice to have a mantra sometimes, because then it's something that you can repeat to yourself and you can have it in your pocket. It's really small business card size cards, so it's carryable. Like you can bring it with you all day.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure you feel this way. Like, I feel like this about the deck that I created in reading with it, because you put so much into it. It's like, there's even more, to me, even more layers of the cards when I read it than when I was reading with like Smith Rider Waite, like traditional imagery. I'm like, oh, cause it's like you literally created it. And there's so much probably behind your thoughts, emotion, and inspiration in each of the cards. So that's,
definitely.
That you created the deck too. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. and same to you, really. I love your deck. I just love the way that it's modern and it's easy for people to understand, because, oh, Lisa Vanderpump. Oh, okay, I know her. Like, you know, then you can relate it. It can be really tough to relate to a Smith Rider Waite card, and you see the death card and you'll just be like, oh,
you're like, that's terrible.
Like, I don't want to die. I'm just like, oh. And you're just, I'm like, oh, but look at it. It's transformation and they're smiling and he's moving towards the future and it's all good. But people are like, oh, okay, when they see it in a more modern way. And I think that that's the beauty of having so many, like, it's really saturated right now, the tarot road, world with decks.
Right.
And I think that you should just buy a deck, like the one that you feel like, oh,
that's,
I love the
pictures. Yeah,
really, like the cards will speak to you and in the way that they should. It's exactly the same when you go shopping for crystals. I did the mistake in the beginning, like, oh, I'm a Cancer sun, so I should have this or that crystal, and I've discovered that sometimes the crystal speaks to me. And then if you close your eyes, this is a really fun exercise. Maybe you have to be like really in tune or more in tune just than a beginner, but it's a really fun exercise to do. Just close your eyes when you're in a crystal shop and then just hold your fingers or your hand above the crystals and ask which one is best for you right now. Mm-hmm. And then you will suddenly start feeling the vibes from the crystals, and then that's one to pick. Or if you suddenly like, so sometimes your fingers may not choose, but like touch one of them, and that's the chosen one.
Yeah,
because that is like, just believe that it's accurate and it's right. Don't question that. And I think that's what we always do wrong. Like, oh, that's a sign. Oh, no, it's not. It cannot be. Like,
right. Yeah, and it's
no,
just,
like, synchronicity and all of the things. And people are like, oh, that was so funny. I just thought of you, and then you called me. And I'm just like, yeah, that's a sign.
Yes.
How can you prove that? I'm just like, I don't have to prove it. It's a sign. Like, you just called me, and I was thinking about you. Whatever. Like, stop, pause.
Yes, yeah, the people, it's so funny. They need, like, justification. And no,
yeah,
I
exactly.
definitely believe that. I definitely believe that. Because it's almost the end of the half hour.
Yeah.
The last
Sounds
thing.
Funny.
Oh no, I could talk, like, you are so fascinating. I can, like, definitely, I hope to talk to you again offline as well. But, I always ask everyone. So I wanted to, before we end the segment, do you have a favorite tarot card and why?
Oh, I have a lot of stalker cards that has followed me throughout the years. Like, Queen of Wands just keeps stalking me this year, and the Five of Pentacles, that is okay. Just like, but then I finally realized what it means. Mm-hmm. But I think that I love the Death card.
I do too. I know, because it's exactly what you said. When people are maybe not like as familiar with tarot, or it's their first time seeing it, it can be intimidating in the word itself. But I agree with you. In my deck, I actually it's the only card that I added a title to, but I called it Death/Rebirth, because I really do.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
Transformation, rebirth. And I think it's a very like exciting concept for me of like, okay, something is ready to transform in my life.
Exactly.
And I'm like grateful for that.
Exactly,
yeah.
That. But the High Priestess is just beautiful, and that's like my card. But then if I should pick like what cards represent me the most, or which cards I embody in some way, I believe that I'm a mixture of the High Priestess / Strength / death. So I'm a lot of all of them, and I think that we all are, and
yeah.
That's the beauty of tarot. They represent, at least like the major arcana, represents all parts of ourselves, and we just have to embody them and rediscover them and explore them.
I love that. And do you have any that you really hate seeing that you're like, oh, not that, in a reading for yourself?
I think that, like, it's because it relates a lot to my past. I hate seeing the Five of Pentacles because I just hate it.
Fives are tough just, in general. Yeah,
it is. And I always like step into my old fears. Like I said that I have a twin brother, and he's always had like more money than I have. Mm-hmm. He was a professional poker player and like had millions. And, wow. And I was like living on like low when I was studying, and that was really tough. So I've always been envy and jealous, to be honest. And then seeing that card is just like, oh no, I can't bother with I can't bother with more misery and poverty. I've had enough.
Yeah.
So, but then I finally realized this like 2-3 months ago, that it's actually about gratitude and how you can be grateful for what you have right now. Perfectly aligned with the Thanksgiving Eve yesterday.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
But I think that it's all about like wherever you are and whatever you're dealing with, bodily or whatever, financially, then learn to be grateful for where you are, and the struggle will be much easier to pass.
Yeah, that's what I always advise people when I get it in client readings, because the fives are like, yeah, most of them are not pleasant, and people that know anything about it, and like you said, even people that don't and they just see the imagery, they're like, oh,
yeah, exactly.
That's probably not good.
They just know already that, oh,
yeah. Even the celebrities, but like in mine, it's like the Countess, and she's, you know, I had some financial struggles, and I'm like, okay, but the message in that was that it was a lesson, a moment that was a lesson in time of, okay, what is, like, you're exactly what you're saying, like, what is your priority? What is worth focusing on? And then like through that, okay, you're going through this great financial struggle, you can like be like, I'm grateful for these things, and this is really more important. So yeah, okay. I try to see it that way, and I try to advise it that way, but no, I feel you. That part, like I said, all fives for me are like
I can't bother. I don't want to look at it. Like, pull me a new card.
So I'm going to, in the notes to this podcast, and in like all my social media, I'm going to post back to kindinside.com. And then your Instagram is kindinside_, right?
Yeah, exactly. Someone stealed like the dot. So
okay. I'll post that as well, but I just want to make
and
sure.
Then I actually have a little surprise for all your lovely listeners.
Yes.
I've made a discount code for my website for my services. So amazing. On first reading, they could get 15% off. And there's a voucher code, and that will be badass bitches.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I am so excited. I'll do a whole like a whole post for that as well.
Yeah. I'll send you the discount code for that one.
Oh, incredible. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Marie. It was so amazing to finally get to speak with you, like somewhat in person. And I hope to come to Denmark. I've actually sadly never been to Denmark.
You should come.
I want to go so badly. And I keep saying that. So I would love to.
I'd love to host you here. That would be amazing. And thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you having me on your podcast.
Thank you. Okay, I will talk to you soon. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to host Marie on the podcast. I love the work she's doing, and her chakra mantra cards are incredible. I'm going to list the discount code she just mentioned, as well as her kindinside.com site and social media in the notes below to this podcast. Before we head out, a quick recap. We shouldn't be too sad about saying goodbye to November's Truth Bomb King of Swords and the Happy Fulfillment card of Ten of Cups. We still have one more week left of these badass bitches, as well as this week's card, the Wheel of Fortune. The magic of fate and destiny is behind you now, and miracles are happening. So be open to evolving, moving forward, channel Madonna, and listen to those signs from the universe. Don't forget to check out CardsEB on Instagram, and if you get a sec, please rate and review this podcast. And as always, some updates for New Yorkers. I'm going to be at Journal doing readings in store, so come grab a badass bitch's tarot deck and try on some sexy lingerie this coming Sunday, December 2nd. It's great for holiday shopping, as well as Yoga Spark Tribeca on December 13th. And I'll also be at Open Center December 21st for their big winter solstice event. Check out my Instagram and badassbitchestarot.com for any additional upcoming holiday events and collaborations. I'm always adding them on there. Thank you so much for listening, and especially as we're in Sagittarius season, stay magical AF.